The wonderful name of Jesus. What a privilege to be here with you as we look into this word again together. That song we sang, you know, revival meetings, that's what I trust this week will do for all of us, me included. That'll help us to get from here to there. Fanny Crosby penned those words, and she was asked years ago, well, she was living, yeah, whenever that was, what she would like to see when she would get eyesight. And, you know, they were waiting to hear, see my parents and, the creation, all the beauty that's around here. She said, when I'm able to see, I want to see Jesus, first of all. Yeah. That is something. She knew the Savior, and he knew her, and that's the big difference. To get us from here to there. I like to have a quote each evening, sometimes a poem. I'm not too sure how the Lord leads. The quote for tonight is, think of it carefully, talking about the Bible. Think of it carefully. Study it prayerfully. Deep in thy heart, let the oracles dwell. Ponder its mystery. Slate not its history. None can ever love it too fondly or well. It's the word of God. And some evenings, I might have an altar call and advice for the song leaders. In an altar call, have a very simple song. It's not a time to learn a song. That will hinder the working of the Spirit. Maybe even it's the same song night after night. That is my personal conviction of it as I've seen it around. Sing something that most will know off by heart, you know. Whatever. The end of the message, I want to open up for testimonies, confessions, whatever. And confessions are not to just flatter the preacher. You know, that's not what I am here for. How is your life with God today? You know, or how was your testimony? You know, was God good to you today? And you know, if we can't share in the congregation, which this is a place of safety, a haven of rest, if we can't share here, I'll guarantee you one thing, you won't out in the street either. This is the place to practice, not just practice, but have it bubbling forth from within. Enough of that for tonight. Good to be here with you. I'm surprised that you invited me back after all the times I've been here. Maybe once I stay long enough, it'll stop then. But no, we love you. And we always enjoy coming here. We feel at home here, not because of who I am, but because of who you are. No. It's a blessing to be together and study God's word, read God's word. Let's pray. Dear Father, we stand on the threshold again of a new week of meetings, and we realize we're so human and we need you. All these dear people have come and they want to hear from you, Lord. And that makes it so sobering. It makes it so awesome. We want to include you here, Lord. You're welcome. Lead out. Speak through me. Speak through the brethren, whatever is needed. Lord, we pray for each family. We pray that none would have to be sick this week. Many times in revivals, families get sick, and I don't know why, Lord, but you do. Lord, we have an enemy. And we just pray, Lord, that each one that wants to come would have that opportunity this week. May this week be one that people will have a greater love of you. They will not look at the man behind the pulpit, but they will look beyond and give you the praise and the honor and the glory. You're coming soon, and we want all to be ready for that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The question I have tonight is, do we need revival? It's the title of the message. I've asked three questions. Do we need revival? What is needed for revival? And the results of revival. In Revelations, Jesus' last words to the churches was, repent or else. They had problems there. And this was a commandment to five of the seven churches in the known world at that time. And if we would stop tonight there, and if we could have that information from Jesus in the world today, would he look down at this congregation here at Lakeview and said, something's missing? Would he look at our home congregation and he would say, oh, there's a lot going on, but something's missing? Would Jesus say this, that repentance is needed in all the seven churches in our day? You know, I'm just asking. Let's turn to Revelation 2, verse 1 to 7. Revelation 2, 1 to 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. What? Because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We say here, as we look at this church here, we say, my, they had a lot of good things going. Indeed they did. They were an active church. They had patience, and they had good works. They were discerners. They could discern what was false doctrine that was coming in and so forth. And they didn't become weary through all of this. You say, boy, I mean, that would be good. What more is needed? In verse 4. Something had happened along that line, and it says that they left their first love for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, remember from whence thou art fallen from. And dear people, tonight you cannot fall from something if you're already laying down. It's like the eternal security, you know, they say you can't fall away from the grace of God. Well, the scriptures over and over, beware that you fall not away. You know, the warnings are over and over again. They will say then, if you do fall, it means you never had Christ in your life before. Well, but I'm not going down that road tonight, but you know what I'm getting at. This loving Savior says, I will remove the candlestick out of his place. And when the lampstand is removed, the light goes with it, and then you're left in darkness. Tonight, it is easier to talk about revelings than revival. It is easier to talk about banquets than fasting, is it not? The Ephesian church was so active, they left something through all their activity. Sometimes we hear the term, haste makes waste. You know, you're running wild and you have to get away on time and you want to be in church in time and you kick over the garbage can and more work and so forth. And we should be in church in time. You know, that should be the heartbeat. You don't have to tell your children whether you're enthused or not tonight. They will know where your heart is. Whether you want to be there for the first song or the last song. Yeah. You don't have to say much. They will know. They will know. And does that mean you're always here on time? No. There's sometimes things that happen along the way to all of us. If you're helping a brother out of the ditch, I mean, or a non-brother even, helping him out of the ditch, the good Lord, he knows all those things better than we ever will. But this is what I'm getting at. We can be gone every night of the week, and I trust you are this week, not because of me, but because you love the Lord. But we can be gone so much in our business life and whatever else it may be, and we can forget what happened on Calvary for a wretched sinner like me. Yeah. We can forget to thank him over and over again that Jesus went to Calvary for me. And that is keeping our first love alive, friends. Indeed it is. Forget from where we were at one time and what Christ came to do for us. And then we forget that we're falling from our first love. Number one, who needs revival? We all do, again and again. I realize there's a spirit going among our churches that they say we don't need revival anymore. That we should get our sins taken care of whenever, and rightly so. I'm not against that. But even tonight, if you're all born again saints, it does us good to come together again and again, and a special time to just worship God. You know, to me, that's a blessing. It's something I think I hope never quits among us, you know. But stop and take note. Remember when you fully depended upon God. When you were saved, what a blessing that was. How you felt so free from sin. All those sins that were committed up to that time are gone. They're washed away, never to be brought forward again. The closeness you had with Jesus Christ, the deep appreciation for Calvary and the cleansing blood, the being filled with the Holy Ghost, and the willingness to do whatever the Lord would beckon us. Remember those days? It was fresh. You felt like you should go down the street and drag everybody into church. Get them saved, you know. This was the heartbeat. Why? Because you loved what Jesus Christ did for you. You had a love for the Word of God and by His grace tried to live by the Word of God. Not because of the law, but because of love. And this is what the Ephesian church had lost. That first love. Oh, they were doing godly things. Yes, they were. They were active. They had a lot of things going. The psalmist of old said in 85, Psalm 85. He said in verse 7, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." The Israelites, they knew about the miracles of the Red Sea crossing. They knew of a manna falling from heaven. They knew of the protection from their enemies as they walked with God. And they knew the rise and the fall of their people. And it wasn't because that God was weaker, but because of how they loved God and how they followed in full obedience to God. We have to realize tonight, we don't deserve mercy. But we can have it if we see our need for it. In verse 4, same chapter, it says, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Restore unto us our reverence for you." And I believe that is something that that I have to work on. And I, likely many of you, that God just becomes finally an ordinary God that you walk down the road arm in arm around with. But friends, we have to elevate ourselves up to his standards. He's not coming down to ours. A reverence for God, the holiness of God. They saw Mount Sinai quake. The brother mentioned that tonight. They saw it burn. They saw it smoke. And they knew as God, there was no, and they knew God, at that point, there was no law needed so they wouldn't step inside the perimeter of that mountain. They saw God at work. They saw the power. And they saw the awesomeness of God. And friends, brethren and sisters, tonight, have we seen the power of God? Not to that extent, no. But if he saved you tonight, never, ever lose sight of that. He wants that first love kindled in your heart towards him to keep it alive and fresh. Turn us. And we can also say, help us to repent. Restore us to the time when we didn't grumble. Restore us to the time when we didn't complain. Restore us to the time when we rightfully didn't call you Jehovah, the Most High. Verse 3 and 4. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. That's the God we want to latch on to and hang on to tonight. The one that has taken away all thy wrath. You know, not all of us tonight, none of us deserve mercy. But he turned the wrath away as we came to him in full repentance and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were all under the wrath of God. And dear people, let's not go back there tonight. Let us be revived. In verse 6 it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Revival brings a rejoicing people. When we know that afresh again that our sins are still under the blood and you have a lively relationship with Jesus Christ, friends, that brings joy to the soul. Brings joy to the face. Yes, it does. How is it with us tonight? Do you still have that first love? And hallelujah if you do. But no man has come to that sinless perfection yet. And that means there's a work in process for all of us to continue to keep that first love alive in our lives. But most of us need revival again and again. And sinner friend, if you're here tonight and you've come to the age of accountability, you don't have to be revived. Sin is always alive. Yes, it is. Sin is always alive. We don't need revival for sin. We need repentance and a change of life if you're a sinner. Sin has to be first dealt with through the salvation in Jesus Christ. Sin has to die. And after that, as so often the case is, we need to cry out like the psalmist did in verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. And this is what is needed for revival. Show us mercy. Show us mercy. Grant us salvation. And with that comes that first love, friends. Yes, indeed. Verse 8, it says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. If you want to be revived tonight, it's like a clock that is years ago. I don't know, now you don't just have to press a few buttons and the clock keeps going. But years ago, you had to wind them up every week, whatever, every day, some of them. We have to be rewound up too, time and time again, as the child of God. Yes, indeed. By the way, the Holy Spirit and this word always blends and never, ever contradicts each other. We hear people say, well, the Spirit told me to do this and the Spirit told me to that. And according to the rest of their life that you see, it isn't corresponding with the Word of God. And we don't have to be judgmental, but we know then something is not right. The Spirit and the Word never contradict each other. You know, when we hear right tonight, it will produce peaceful actions for the saints. However, let them not turn again to folly, the scripture says. And folly means foolishness, thinking that we will keep our first love if we don't maintain it. And that never works. It doesn't work in marriage. If it never works in any other thing either, you have to maintain it. In a business, you have to maintain that seal that you have. In 2 Chronicles, we'll be coming back to this, but 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Vice President Pence, when he was on his campaign trail, he was down in Florida, and he gave a speech that night to thousands of people, and this is what he said, and I have to commend them for that, a politician, where's another politician in the whole world that would say, this is what is wrong with America? 14, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What a tremendous verse. It says here, if you are a child of the King, it says if you call yourself a Christian tonight, if you humble yourself, if you pray, if you seek the face of the Lord, if you turn from where you are now to where you were at one time with the Lord, then we will have all the results for a revival. What a beautiful verse. If my people will humble themselves, if the people at Lakeview humble themselves, if the people back in Maranatha humble themselves, God can do wonderful things when people let him do it. Nehemiah. Don't think I'll turn to that, but yes, it will. Nehemiah chapter 4. Just to give you a little illustration here. Verses 1 and 2. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Very interesting verses. When you see a need for revival in your life, you will get opposition. Yes, you will. Sanballat was not a promoter of the Jewish religion. Not at all. He spoke with his brethren and the Samaritan army. You know, we'll get to the big stuff here. What do these feeble Jews think? Are you willing to be again identified with God's people? Or are you in some ways ashamed tonight? You know, Are you ashamed being identified with this congregation? No. Are you willing to be again identified with God's people? Or is it just Sunday morning in church? The rest of the week, well, you know, I don't want to really say I belong to that church in the hill, you know. I almost have to act different. Are you in some ways ashamed? The Jews, they dressed different. They even ate different. And a lot of different other things they did back then, and a lot of them still do. But how about you and me? Are we ashamed to be separated from the world? And if you are, don't expect revival in your heart. What do those feeble Jews think? Are you willing to humble yourselves? Are you willing to take false accusations and not to retaliate? The scripture says, except you become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, for us, if your neighbor slanders you, whatever, you'll remember that a long time, won't you? We're ashamed, are we? Does that first love still show itself when men speak all manner of evil against you? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And James writes there. Don't worry if they say, you Jews, you Mennonites, whatever. You know, they're so feeble. Yeah. It's all right. That's all right. Who's on your side? No. If God's on your side, he'll always be the winner. Yes, he will. Always the winner. Nothing to be ashamed of. Sanballat said, will they fortify themselves? A person that wants revival will fortify himself, will protect first himself and the family from evil around, and also be a supporter of the believers in truth. Revival isn't shown just on Sunday morning. It's a 24/7 deal. And if you cannot fit into the local brotherhood you're with because of a wrong spirit, because of your pride, because of carnality, then don't ever think of revival, because revival has to start with you and with me. So often we're prone, well, okay, we'll go back and forth on the bench, and there's one, you know, there's one. Boy, I hope he hears the message tonight, you know. No, no. Revival starts with me. I have to get down on my knees before God and let him do his perfect work in me, that I'm not ashamed if the whole world laughs at me. You know. Remember how far you have fallen from that first love. You know. Sanballat, he said, will they sacrifice? You mean they're going to sacrifice again? Come on. Let's get real. The world is scared of true Christianity. The Muslim world hates Christianity. North Korea, you'd never be caught with the Bible without possibly being killed. China, they're stepping up persecution more and more every day. God can bring persecution too with coronavirus. You know. Yeah. He can do many things. They're afraid of true Christianity. Yes. That's how come Bernie Sanders is on the run in the States here. He wants to bring this to a communist country, socialist country, and then the two go hand in hand. Everything equal. True Christianity supersedes that any day. Praise God for that tonight, dear people. Will they sacrifice? Will you continue on worshiping? Do you have that first love tonight that the world is scared of? Because they're convicted if they see true Christianity at work. That is how come people blow themselves up and try to kill others. People will go to monasteries and deprive themselves of the world's goods. They will hurt their bodies for a closer relationship with the deity, and the list goes on. But Sanballat was afraid of the Jews' sacrifice. Now, when our heavenly God smells a sacrifice, it comes up from a heart that again has that first love. Things will happen. Things will happen. Sanballat said, will they make an end in a day? Will this all be complete? It doesn't take long to again have that first love, but it takes a lifetime to live it. Yeah. Sanballat said, will they revive the stones out of the heaps? You know, these were all dirt and burned and marks on it, whatever else. The stones that have been wasted, they've gone through the fire, they're black and dirty, and can they be used again? Revival of the stone comes when men and women see and experience their own first love, and then they will reach out in kingdom work. They will lift up these stones, not only to build a wall, but to show to the world what a glorious church Jesus Christ is. Indeed. The revival that is needed will show God's love to a fallen down world. Again, back to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, verse 8. It says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. You know, it is far easier to run to a counselor, to speak, and read many books of what ails you all, than to hear from God. I trust you, all of you, that we have grown to the age of accountability. And you have a book in your hands tonight that tells you where to turn for help and what is needed to give you power to walk in full obedience to the Word of God. It says in verse 9 here, surely thy salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. You know, in our churches, we have people that can quote the day they were born, they were saved. That's wonderful. That's good. But they have lost the reverence of a holy God. They have lost the zeal to obey the word of God. And yet, their speech is glorious. God is doing this, and God is doing that. They have lost their first love. And many times it shows how they come to worship on a Sunday morning, you know. You know, we can dress up for the president or the queen of our country or whatever, you know, we put on the best for them, and yet we can be very casual for a Sunday morning and say, well, you know. And yet, if he is your Savior, if he is your King, you'll put on the best you have. And that'll vary from culture to culture, what is the best. I realize that. Yeah. But friends, when we come, and I appreciate what I saw, I want to commend you. As you came into the church building here, there was quietness. And immediately my thoughts went heavenward, you know, to worship. We have Romanian friends in our local city there, and we sometimes go to church with them. And as they come into the church, they always bow down and kneel down by the bench and have a quiet prayer. Beautiful sight. Yeah, beautiful. I love it. We're here to worship God, to have that first love rekindled, made alive. Psalm 85, verse 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquities of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. Ponder that. Ponder that. For us in this era of grace, our sins are not only covered, but they're washed away. Washed away. Oh, that should have made our heart beat faster. Washed away. All that you have committed in the past can be washed away, free. We don't have that first love. There's a reason for that. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, he called pride the firstborn son of hell. That's what he said. Charles Spurgeon. Pride is the firstborn son of hell. And that is so subtle. We don't have it among Mennonites, I realize. But, sometimes we have Mennonite Hollywood. Sad to say. Sometimes there's a spirit in people that you know and you love and everything else. There's something there that doesn't draw you beyond looking to Christ. You just look at them. You know. Dear people, tonight, when people look at you and you, the Lord loves when they look at you and they're reminded there's a heavenly God. When people are revived and you're walking according to the Word of God, I mean, what a beautiful scene. In our day, when I drive the streets and there's a woman walking down the street that is fully dressed, that has a dress on, God is still at work. You know, just that's just one example. I trust you have been praying and fasting for this week, that we can open to hear the word of God. In verse 13 it says, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the ways of his steps. God is always righteous. And set us means here to make God's footsteps our way of life. You know, as children, we followed Dad's footsteps in the snow. Everybody knows what snow is around here. We tried to follow, you know, sometimes the steps were too big and sometimes not big enough and so forth. If we want revival tonight, we cannot run ahead and we cannot lag behind. The early church, when they had a love of God shed abroad in their hearts, the work took off. And they didn't have church buildings at the start. The work took off. They didn't have radio programs to preach the word across. The work took off. They didn't have TV shows. And the work took off. They didn't have automobiles to go quickly from one place to the next. And the church flourished. They didn't have any newspapers of special revival means coming up to tell people about. And the work flourished. They didn't have any texting back and forth and say, well, you know, this preacher's coming, that preacher's coming. No. The work flourished. Because they had a first love. They saw Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, some of those early ones. And they saw that he was put in the grave. And they saw that he was resurrected. And some of them saw him go into glory, friends. Going to glory. And then that message, I'm coming back. Friends, that stirred within them something that was real. Something that was alive that supersede any communication out there. Because every person they met Their face glowed with what had taken place, what they saw, what the experience of their sins forgiven, that they were willing to walk in the footsteps of the Master. Results of revival. When a person has his first love of God shed abroad in your heart, you'll witness to family, friends, and to the world. The early church didn't need to pray that they would get love for souls. No, they didn't. They had that first love of God within them. And help us to say tonight, God, revive thy work again in my life. You know, sometimes we think we need this program, we need that program. Friends, get the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. Have that first love again. And think back of what he did for you. Revival means examination of oneself. It means repentance. It means confession. It means renunciation. It means restitution. It means submission. It means separation from the world. And it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Revival is renewing our first love for God and our fellow Christians. Psalm 51, 12 and 13. 12 and 13. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Then will I be able to teach those around me. Self is out of the picture, dear people. Revival is a new beginning of obedience to God, and it is getting down in the dust of humility before God and each other. Revival breaks the power of sin and the power of the world. If you're filled with pride tonight, you don't know the love of God. Revival is when the mind and the conscience have consented to truth and obey it. Many people consent to truth, but obedience to truth is what matters. The word of God is like a two-edged sword. Too many people are trying to knock down a tree with the handle when the axe is missing. You know. Try all the resources, but don't have the axe and the handle. And it's hard work. You know. Hard work. Get a tree down. Man. We need to get a fresh look of who Jesus Christ is tonight. Yeah. Who he was in Revelations there. 1 John 3:2, it says, we shall see him as he is. Isn't that the song that we sang to? Never thought of that before. Yes. We're going to see him someday as he is. Will we see him as the exalted one, the crowned one? Is he going to be a judge then? Excuse me, is he going to be your judge or your savior? He is the one who called the churches to repentance, and he still does. Tonight, do you have the first love and the fire of the Holy Ghost burning afresh in your soul? The word of God says here, the Lord is nigh. In where are we at here? Can't spot it offhand, but it says the Lord is nigh them that love him. Is the Lord nigh to you tonight? Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you for this opportunity of coming together. And Lord, to open your word and to see the beauty of it. And also to remind us that if we want to get from here to there, we're in a battlefield, not a playground. And thus, Lord, we pray for this congregation, each one here, that God, that you would help each one to be revived, that, Lord, their soul could be a flame again of that first love, and that their children could see they love you, that their children could rise up and say, I have to have what Dad and Mom have. I can't go through life without that, because that is everything to them. Oh God, may you be praised. May you be honored. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.